I'm delighted now to welcome John Torres Ness. He is Director of Artist Services at Indian Market, and Jane Davis, who is founder and director of Hope House, who has a booth this year at Indian Market as well. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you.
Great to be here.
So Indian Market is a great big destination for people from all over the world. It's a huge event for the artists who are participating in Indian Market. Your role as Director of Artist Services is not just about the many things that are being exhibited, but it's really a kind of people role.
It is, and I often, people ask me, what do you do? And I often said, I'm an artist juggler. I juggle 1,500 native artists from all across the country and help them get to town, help them get their booth locations, help them through the whole jurying and judging process. And you meet all kinds of amazing people.
So I can imagine that just the competition to get a booth in Indian Market in the first place is intense. How does that work?
Well, we start out in the fall, actually. We're already well into 2010's show and planning. So applications go out end of September, beginning of October. Artists send in their application, their images, their slides, and we go through this rigorous juring process to select about between 900 and 1,000 artists.
How many applications do you get?
This year we had over 1,500 applications.
Okay.
So there's still 200 on the waiting list and another 200 or so that just didn't get in at all. So.
And do you select for not only quality of work, but for a kind of diversity of work so that a lot of different bases are covered?
Both, and we try to cross, gender and age lines, and we try to make sure we value the elders that have been here for a while, even though the work may not be, number one quality anymore. People want to come see them now. It's not so much about their work, and try to honor that balance between contemporary artists and those that have made this market what it is.
When you say those who've made it what it is, are you talking about more traditional types of work?
Traditional artists, people that, their grandmother and great-grandmothers have been in the show, mostly potters, mostly jewelers from the Southwest.
Now, does Indian Market cover beyond the Southwest?
It does. We are the Southwest Association for Indian Arts, but a good 20% of our artists are from all over the country, Alaska, Maine, just from all over.
Give us kind of an overview of some of the things that people might see at Indian Market this year that they aren't expecting. Okay, pottery and jewelry, as you've said.
Pottery, jewelry, lots of paintings. When I came on to market last year, my goal was to figure out how do we honor all the other Native artists, filmmakers, poets, performing artists. So last year we added a film component to the show, and this year we're adding poets and literary artists to the show. So those are two things that people may have not normally seen at market. Also, we're having demonstrations on the booths on the plaza again this year. So we've got a sculptor and a painter and some basket weavers from Maine demonstrating their crafts from further away that people wouldn't normally see. Northwest Coast, Alaska, a painter from the Southwest, but a very contemporary painter.
How many of the people who come to Indian Market with the intention of buying are collectors or gallerists or people who are working really in the trade, so to speak?
How many of them?
Well, is that a large percentage of it?
Certainly the early birds, it's the huge percentage of it. Those folks that are waiting outside the booth at 7 a.m. on Saturday, often many of those collectors that want a specific artist's work literally pay people to spend the night in front of the booth overnight. And so there are those collectors that are serious. And then usually Sunday afternoon we get a lot of the wholesalers, the gallery people who buy wholesale from artists before they go home. So it's very early Saturday morning, and then usually Sunday afternoon are the two big professional groups that come in to buy work.
We were talking recently to the New Mexico Women's Foundation, and they have their annual Rag Rug Festival. And for many of the women who are showing their crafts and their work that weekend, a large percentage of what they make is that one weekend. Is that
right?
The same in Indian Market?
Absolutely. Most of our artists will do two shows a year. They'll do Indian Market here in Santa Fe, and they'll do the Herd Show in Phoenix, which is based on our show. It's almost as old as our show. It's about half the size of our show. And with those two shows, that's their annual income. Some people, it's the one show they do a year. I talked to a potter this morning, and she's got all her pots ready, and this is her, she makes her whole money. She won't sell another pot till next August.
I would think that artists, Indian artists, especially working in traditional media, are always walking a fine line between really expressing traditional crafts the way they've been made for many years and selling for the market, making things that people want, you know, wealthy people from Texas and California and that right. kind of thing. How do they find that balance?
I think it varies from medium to medium. For instance, 2 years ago, the Best of Show winner was a bead worker. So last year we had lots of beadwork entries. People saw what was winning awards the previous year and really tried to tune their work towards that. The more traditional textile artists and potters, they just continue doing what they do because that's what most people want to see. I mean, they want to see a pot look like it did 100 years ago.
Right. And are they still made in the way that they were made 100 years ago?
For the most part, yeah. I mean, still, the clay's all still collected naturally and polished. Some folks have gone to kiln firing and then pit firing. They'll kiln fire first and then pit fire because it reduces the amount of breakage. But other than that, it's pretty much the same way.
And you are from the world of anthropology. Is that right?
You're an archaeologist.
So what's your specialty in archaeology?
Actually, it's stones. Stone tools are my specialty. And, I was a lead archaeologist for the Navajo Nation, where I'm from, for about a decade. I got a curator job here at the Museum of Indian Arts and Culture in Santa Fe. And when I came on board there, they hired me as the archaeological curator. And during my interview, the director said, "What do you know about contemporary Native arts?" And I can learn. And so my first 8 shows there happened to be all contemporary Native art shows. I didn't do a single archaeology show while I was there. And I started volunteering with SWIA. I got really involved and suddenly decided, you know, this is much more interesting dealing with living people instead of all the not-so-living people.
So the written word poetry and so on is part of it, too. In fact, we're going to be speaking with Simon Ortiz on the show, I think, tomorrow.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, he's our headliner for our
right.
show.
But that's a new piece
of Indian
market. It's
brand new. We're starting that Wednesday. Indian market used to start Saturday. We actually are starting it pretty much Tuesday this year. So
it's just more opportunity for people to come and
just more to see. The films are running. Just, you know, the poetry thing. We're having a big press conference tomorrow morning with a governor proclamation announcing Native Arts and Culture Week for the whole week.
And so you, Jane Davis, we're talking to Jane Davis and John Torres Ness about Indian Market, are the founder of Hope House, and you have a booth this year devoted to Native prison art.
Yes, we're so thrilled and thankful that our paths crossed with John, and he just grabbed it and ran with it and got it, and actually also became a Hope House volunteer, so he's been coming in the prison. I actually brought some art that we're going to be displaying for the radio audience.
Yes, we're going to hold it up to the microphone, as always.
But, you know, you see we have these are paños, which is a traditional prison art. And these were painted, drawn by Native American inmates.
What does the word mean?
Paño is now I forgot what the word means in Spanish, but what it is a handkerchief. That white handkerchief that many prisons sell. And then you can see the creativity. They really just do it with whatever they have at hand. This particular one is a black ink drawing, and they made it fancier by shredding so that
fringing
there's fringe.
The edges of the but they're images basically drawn and painted on handkerchiefs.
Exactly. And this one you see, obviously they had access to colored pencils, and so most of them are black and white, but you do get the color. This one, this box, was hand-carved by a Native American inmate in the federal prison. And we've been working with Native American inmates and others for 16 years. So someone made us this box with the blessing that it should always be filled with donations.
Oh, nice.
Wherever we have. So that box will be there at the market.
How do you connect with prison artists?
Well, we go into the prisons. So it's part of the work that we do by showing up in the prison. And our work is not issue-oriented or political. It's the human beings. And I think that's why John and I connected, because our work is about the human beings who live in there, who they're doing their time, they have to be accountable, but we don't get involved in that aspect. And our belief is anything that we can do to bring dignity and respect to a human being is maybe planting a seed that will have an effect when they come out. This opportunity is absolutely incredible because it's giving hope to not only the self-help group that we work with here in the penitentiary of New Mexico, but we're getting the word out to Native American inmates all over the country, because I've been going in there, so I'm spreading, and hopefully next year we're going to have, you know, even more art, and we've got quite a lot. The banner that was created, that John and his folks created, if you notice, it has no date on it. So I'm like, yes, we can hang it next year.
But it's a Hope House at Indian Market banner for about prison art.
Prison art,
and I've seen quite a bit of prison art for whatever reason, either shows of it or whatever. Always has a look. You can almost tell that it's prison art. What's that about? Is it something...
Well, because I think what it shows is they don't have much access to craft things to make. For example, this is a smudge stick, and you can tell by the wood, by the way this is made. Like you
Jane
can tell
Davis is thinks that the radio audience can see what she's holding in her hands, ladies and gentlemen, but they can't. She's holding up a piece of wood.
That you can see from this. This is a typical...
It's a simple piece of wood.
Simple. See, I knew you would find the words for it. And yet the feather and the smudge is complex. So they had access to a lot of things in this prison. And I think prison art shows the ingenuity of every human being. When you take things away, the prison art is just so rich and full of humanity and hope. John, what would you say? You've been coming to the groups.
I've just been amazed at you know, the art for those folks really comes from a different place, because they'll take the tiniest bit of a pencil that they have left and still manage to draw something amazing. It's just this need for creative expression is there regardless of the fact that they have hardly any materials.
Right.
And it's amazing, amazing.
And also, I mean, as we've discussed on this show and in other places, there are a lot of people in prison who are creative types, right-brain learners, not necessarily super verbal, incredibly gifted, who weren't recognized in school, went down a bad path, and there they are.
Yes, and what you'll see, the painting we used on the banner is by an inmate, Joey Allen, who was part of our group for years. The Gray Eagles in the penitentiary.
Now, what's the Gray Eagles?
The Gray Eagles is the Native American self-help group in the penitentiary. And Hope House sponsors three of the five self-help groups. We also sponsor the Black Awareness Group, the Gray Eagles, and the Haciendas, which is the Hispanic self-help group. And so Joey is now what's called off paper. In other words, he finished all of his time. So this opportunity is also giving him hope and a chance to actually earn a living, even though we will not be selling art at the market.
Oh, you
won't? We're just exhibiting. And it's really to educate the public to the human beings behind the walls and to see the creativity, and it's that spreads. Now, Joey, for example, will have an opportunity to get commissions of people, and he's one of the most incredible artists. He's coming
down. Yeah, that looks like an 18th or 19th century European narrative painting.
He's talented, and one of the things that he did in prison was he taught others how to paint. And so he's been very instrumental in supporting other inmates and teaching them. A lot of the art that you see, the inmates never did anything artistic before. And that's the other amazing thing, is that all of a sudden they're locked up in prison. You know, they're deprived of certain things, and the art and creativity just shines. And I'm hoping we're going to be at Cathedral Park in booth number 9 across from the tent.
Okay.
And I'm hoping lots of people will come by and see us.
So are there people who, I mean, you're not selling it, but are there people who collect prison art and exhibit prison art in galleries, whatever?
There are a lot of people who collect prison art. And Hope House, we're actually talking to a gallery in Madrid, and we're hoping soon to have a space where we will be representing some prison artists from all over the country. Because we can't sell, because we're in as volunteers, so we can't get involved in business relationships with the inmates we actually work with. But those who come off paper, who were finished, like Joey, who's finished with the system, he will have an opportunity, and perhaps he'll have his own booth next year, or perhaps Hope House will have a co-op where we'd have both the nonprofit, but also maybe be able to sell prison art from around the country.
John Torres Ness, what do, when there's a disproportionate number of Native people in prison in a lot of states, just as there are a disproportionate number of Black and Latino people in the United States, when people come out of prison and they have to be reintegrated, what do you, for example, you're Navajo, what happens?
That's tough. I guess that's sort of why I kind of wanted to get involved with this, because I know a lot of times people go back home and they're faced with the same situation, no employment, in the middle of nowhere, and it's hard for folks to really get back on their feet in a lot of cases. And I saw some of the artwork that these guys were doing and realized that they had not seen Indian America. They had not realized that you could make a living as an artist, and that's something you can do back home in your community. You learn how to fill out your applications, you know how to jury and photograph your work and get into these shows. And that's sort of what I hope to kind of be involved with here. Because it is important for a lot of people to go back to their communities as part of the healing process. But then they also have to have some kind of economic incentive to really get back on their feet. And I see so many Native artists be able to do that successfully. And that, well, this is a good way to introduce these folks to market and see 1,100 people making a living at this. Some people still living in big cities, but most people just doing their craft in their own communities and being able to do that.
And it's not only a way of making a living, but it also is in itself kind of a, probably a healing or calming activity
for
them.
Yeah, absolutely. For instance, you know, beadwork is one of those things that just takes a long time to do, and it's very soothing and very methodical and meticulous. And
if you haven't learned patience before that...
There you go.
you do.
I think that's one thing these guys have figured out.
One of the things that I want your listeners to hear is if anybody out there has friends or family who are serving time now, Native American inmates serving time now, or out... And I would love them to be in touch with us so that we can start collecting and gathering for next year's show. And I'd want the word to spread among Native American inmates, no matter here or wherever they are, that they have an opportunity to show. So they can reach us at on the web, www.hopehouse.org, and that's HOPE-HOWSE.org.
And tell us what the Hope House stands for.
Hope House is an acronym, and it stands for Help Other People Evolve. That's the hope, through honest, open, willing self-expression, self-evaluation. And so it's a spiritual action that tells you you have to be really right with yourself first and honest, and then the hand in the logo, the eye, the heart, the hand, is to be of service. And that's essentially Hope House is of service. No one, including myself, as founder and director, earns any money. And and then also when it comes to raising funds, we always have such great things going on that I end up forgetting we're fundraising and end up inviting everyone. And that's really, you know, we've existed as a 501c3 for 16 years or something, and it's encouraging people, be present and be of service no matter what comes in your path. We're all one, and our logo's One Heart.
It's an unusual nonprofit in that it doesn't have one specific set of areas that you serve. You kind of serve whoever and whatever comes along, whether it be dogs, prisoners, teenagers.
Correct. Right.
Somebody you meet in the supermarket.
Right. Well, as a matter of fact, it's interesting because this month I got three letters from inmates from Bangkok prisons who happened to get chicken soup for the prisoner's soul and read about Hope House, and I have a couple of stories in it. So they sent letters, and they didn't know each other. They were from three different prisons. And then also I got a call the other day from a man whose son is going to prison in a month, and he's from the East Coast, and he called so we could be of service in helping him and connecting his son with others who are now out of the federal system. So, again, you're so right and astute, Mary Charlotte, that we are about being of service as a path to peace, and we are not defined by anything except that.
And you seem to sort of keep it all in balance. I mean, if I were in your shoes and people were calling me for help night and day, way more than any one person or even group of volunteers can handle, I don't know, you seem to somehow make it all work.
Yeah, and I think maybe that's the mystery of, you know, what we call the creator or higher power, or I call it it with a capital I, because I do have a full-time job. So I work 40 to 50 hours a week in that. And somehow when I wake up and continue to wake up at 3 in the morning, I'm so charged by being of service that that's when I do the Hope House work and emails. And it's... I once heard an expression, if you want to get something done, ask the busiest person you know.
That is so true.
It is true.
I hate to admit it.
It is. And you know, so we just flow. And I think the reason that I can do it is I have no illusion of helping anybody. So there's no, I'm not fixing anyone, I'm not helping anyone, but I'm fully present. And so when something comes in my path, you pay attention. You either do it or don't do it.
We're talking to Jane Davis of Hope House and John Torres Ness, who is the Director of Artist Services at Indian Market this year. Now, Indian Market starts today, Tuesday, August 18th.
Correct.
And runs through the weekend. So much going on. People can look at swaya.org. Swaya is spelled S-W-A-I-A. Any particular things that you're most looking forward to?
Good question. I guess I'm most excited about the literary component we're having this year, Wednesday night. It's at the St. Francis Auditorium at the Museum of Fine Arts, just because I'm glad to have spoken word as part of Indian Market. It's a free event. Also, again, free films all weekend long on the plaza, native filmmakers from all over. So I guess those two I'm really excited about and proud of, just because I'm trying to continue to, I guess the performing artists are next. How do I do that? I don't know, but I'll figure that out.
Right. And then, you know, what's interesting about that is once you get into poetry and spoken word and performance and things, yeah, you can sell books and tickets, but it really expands it away from a consumerist, let's sell merchandise to people, to more of a cultural festival.
Right, yeah. I mean, there's lots of native stories out there to tell, and some tell it by making pots and some tell it by writing books. And they're both equally important.
Well, John Torres Ness and Jane Davis, thank you both so much for being with us here on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you, Mary Charlotte.
You've been listening to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Mary Charlotte. We're streaming live on the web at ksfr.org. You can email me at the email radiocafe@ksfr.org. We're podcasting at santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show whenever you want, thanks to Santa Fe's .foil computer services. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes, and you can find us at facebook.com/radiocafe. Stay tuned for the BBC, followed by local news by KSFR's award-winning news team, and after that, the Jazz Experience.